Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. Yeah. That's the day the groundhog peeks out of his hole, sees Trump has won Iowa, and burrows to Canada. That is...
Ho, ho. 7 o'clock, TSN 1050, Mike Richards in the morning. See, a lot of emails here today, a lot of tweets coming. Here's one from our good friend Bob in Burlington, talking about some of the issues upon the news of Bret Hart saying that he will now have to go into surgery fighting prostate cancer. And it was because of his older brother, Smith, who was diagnosed with bone and prostate cancer, said the brothers, go get tested. So again, it's that surprise party that you never want to have. Do the screening now if you're in that, typically that age group. Bob, with his medical profession, he said, while the digital rectal exam is useful to examine the prostate, the PSA blood test is helpful. So there's different ways of doing it. And as he mentions, the better version of the PSA, which is also includes the free / total ratio, cost a bit extra. But ask your doctor just simply, what do you suggest in terms of testing? And I know a bunch of guys. Hey, Dave Bastel, our buddy, he's going very shortly as well. To my good friend, Dr. G, who I found through our good friend Looch. I mean, this is kind of how that works a little bit. I think it's just of your mindset to go get tested, even if there's nothing wrong. And in a lot of cases, in most cases, you're probably pretty good. But it's peace of mind, which is good for you and it's good for your family. It's good for everybody. You can't lose on this one. And trust me, guys don't like going to the doctors. The last time I went was junior hockey camp. That's the last time I went. I probably needed to go, actually, before I got in the plane to Calgary. They thought the tumor in me was 6 to 8 years. So you're going back to 2004 when this all comes down.
My dad just turned 65, Mike, and he had a bit of a scare a couple years ago. He got tested, and he's the type that doesn't go to the doctor. And... actually, it was my uncle. He had a scare. Like, good thing is, everything's good, but at least they got checked out, and now they go regularly.
See, I get the guys don't want to hear bad news. I get the people don't want to hear bad news, but here is the good news about going. Most are, you know, you're going to get this thing in time. It's like 95% beatable. I mean, mine was actually stage 3, apparently. By definition, it was stage 3. I will be finished with this thing hopefully very shortly. On the 17th, I have to go in for yet another procedure. And boy, that's fun. Trust me, it's like they're drilling for oil. You don't want that one. Oh, sure, there's a monitor, and it looks like they're playing Tomb Raider. Except that's not a tomb. No, no. Trust me, you don't want that one. So peace of mind. Cut it off at the pass. Go get yourself some screening. Trust me, you'll be better for it. And so will your family. 7:04 on TSN 1050. Mike Richards in the morning. And speaking of getting it from the behind, the Raptors last night going to Denver. And stink. For Coach Casey, well, the loss is on the whole team.
Our players know. They know that that wasn't us. And, you know, the way you get respect in this league is be consistent and consistent with your performance. And it's on all of us. And we represent all of it. We take it. We own it. We got to own it. It doesn't lie. 93-112. So that's the ball game.
Yeah, it doesn't lie. Candace, even you said this morning, you know, you just watched the first part of that game. And I don't know. Is this, quote unquote, a trap game?
Well, I think the altitude.
No, nobody want to lose. Nobody.
I think the altitude got to them last night, Mike. I really do.
Leo Routon's talked about it yesterday because people don't realize just how difficult it is.
It's funny because he reiterated it again in the broadcast, and it's true. Like, you could tell they were sucking wind at the end of that first half.
Well, it showed, and it had nothing to do with the streak. And, of course, none of the coach talked about it, but Kyle Lowry said, you know, the streak ends, but whatever.
You know, we can talk about the streak. It has nothing to do with streak. I've never talked about the streak. It has nothing to do with the streak. It's about our focus, our energy coming in this building, and they just outworked us in every area.
Getting outworked, real difficult, but, you know, when you start to read into it a little bit, when you talked about the setup of this game, I think maybe reality set in a little bit, just the circumstance. I think tonight they've got to realize that, you know, they still have to go out and win. The record looks great. The streak was fantastic. But this is a Phoenix team that really just doesn't honestly have a whole bunch at all. And now, without the head coach, now 48 hours, you just don't know what kind of effort. So you just have to assume they're going to braveheart it a little bit. And that's what happens in these scenarios when coaches get let go. The players all of a sudden are like, yeah, but your army's still crap. You have to remember that. You still have to take it to them. And on back-to-back, sometimes difficult. We talk about the elevation. But this is one that they cannot let unravel the other way. How many times have we seen professional sports, including in hockey, these teams that go 10, 11 games with a win, how many games do they lose after that? Three? Four? You know, I think you just have to be aware of that when you focus on the game that you have at hand. And for DeMar DeRozan, I mean, he realizes, you know, you're not going to dwell over this loss. You got to move on.
You want to play great for the whole season, every single game, but, you know, just don't work that way. You know, we got humbled tonight, and, you know, like I said, I told all the guys, we just got to bounce back. We got another game tomorrow. We can make, forget about this one. It happens, and move on.
Well, also, the official, now I know there's that look at the Leafs' new logo. Now it's, I don't know if it's been leaked or it's out all over the place, but generally when I see that stuff, then there's going to be something sarcastic, then there's going to be a picture of quote-unquote the leaf blower. I get it. Hilarious. So I don't spend a lot of time on it. But officially, the Toronto Maple Leafs' new logo for their centennial season will be unveiled tonight during the Leaf game. So that blueprint on TSN 4 at 9:30. Is that what we're saying?
Yes, following the hockey game.
The Leaf, the blueprint.
That's like the open gym for the Leafs.
Yes. TSN 4 at 9:30. Is this big for people?
People tend to talk about it, yeah. Well,
it's the logo. I don't see
a drastic change to the logo. I really don't.
From what I've seen, again, this will be unofficially because this is the official. I'm looking at him going, okay, so is there an extra little line that...
Well, it's going to be the logo for the 100th anniversary. So people are speculating, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to go more old school? Is it going to be a combo of old and new? Until you see it, you can't really... You can only speculate.
Here's one from... This is great, too. From Mississauga, Croatia, SC. So from their football club out there, our Croatian friends. Hey, guess who has the Rocket Robin Hood theme stuck in their head right now? I think probably a lot of people. We'll have to look up that theme. And Rocket, Reggie, what was it called? Rocket Robin Regeer. Rocket Robin Regeer we'll have to look up too. Okay, also taking a look at somebody we talked this morning, Mike Babcock. As the Leafs now get ready, they play in Boston tonight. So people want to know, what about the lines? Are you shuffling the lines?
Well, we haven't scored, you know, and so I think our scoring chances for, you know, we've had a lot of them and we don't finish. We've had tons on the power play, we don't finish. We got to figure out a way to score some goals. You got to score goals to win. We went through this early, and now we're going through it now. We got to continue to work hard and fight through it.
Oh, no.
Space travelers surround me, hark now to the ballad of Rock and Robin Hood.
Wow.
I may well confound you, astound you, spell.
Listen to the cheesy space sound effects, how terrible this is.
Watch now as our rockets race here from afar, for now with our Robin we live on a star.
Three, two, one.
Here it comes.
Blast off! Band of brothers marching together, heads held high in all kinds of weather. With fiery blast, our roaring rockets rise beyond the earth,
beyond the skies.
At the side of Robin Hood you stand.
What the hell is this?
You don't know. Here it comes. Here's the beginning.
That was well done.
Which craziest, worst cartoon ever?
That was a lot of acid.
So was that just like a futuristic Robin Hood?
Yes. Way to figure that one out. The U of T right now is going, we've done our job.
Well, because I'm looking at the cartoon here. He doesn't have a bow and arrow or anything.
No, like, it's just, a special
there
rocket.
There was a female Robin Hood.
Oh, that was a Maid Marian, I think. What's going on there?
The funny thing is, I was a huge fan of Friar Tuck. Little did I know I'd look like him later in life.
Hey, Sean, people need goals. You gotta.
Maybe deep fryer, Tuck.
Burn! Burn!
Scrizz on fire. That's a tunnel shot you took right there.
Yeah, but when you're going to be gulping 2 dozen of cupcakes in 2 weeks.
Trust me, cupcakes.
As long as I'm not paid for it, I'm not losing. So.
No, that's okay. We will, and we'll figure that out. I think it's going to be sometime in the spring. Also, getting back to the Maple Leafs before Rocket Robin Hood showed up, Babs, well, the team needs to play better.
You should have got your self-energized, and you should be ready to go. And to me, it's an important time for our team. We're really trying to improve our team, improve our culture, grow our game here so that when kids arrive here, they're around good people. And so we got to continue to get a lot better than we are.
Once again, that's the Leafs in Boston tonight. A reminder at the bottom of the hour, after Pierre Maguire, Marv Albert will make his way in once again for that trivia question, a chance for a family four-pack during the NBA All-Star Game at the NBA Center Court at Enercare Center. All kinds of activities, 40 courts going on. You and your family will be going if you answer correctly from the one and only Marv Albert. Pierre Maguire on the other side. We'll also try to find more of those NFL Super Bowl moments. I know those are very popular.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, coming today and hard practice, it almost feels like training camp over a whole review, and obviously, first game tomorrow, so definitely feels a lot like September again.
Connor McDavid, he's skating again. He's skating again! The world is going to be saved!
I'm a Pierre Maguire fan. I just can't stop. He travels around, a man about town, gives us what he's got. And what you need to know, we got him on our show, saying, hey, hey, mommy, you know Pierre Maguire's on.
And now we go to our very good friend Pierre Maguire. Good morning, Pierre.
Mike, good morning to you, sir.
Well, I saw all kinds of messages from Alberta last night, this morning. There are sightings, there is talk, and there's no question. I think if you're a Leaf fan and of the Tank Nation variety, where you know you really want to see that team finish last, this is probably good news for you.
Well, I see your point. I understand the philosophy. I just glad that Connor's back because he's an important part of the league going forward, and he's a hugely important part of the Edmonton Oilers. I had a chance on Saturday night to spend some time with Bob Nicholson and Kevin Lowe at the All-Star Weekend in Nashville, and they couldn't say enough good things about Connor, not as a player, but just as how he's carried himself and how he's rehabbed and how diligent he's been and, you know, what a great commitment he's made to being a great player. So, you know, again, you look forward to watching a player like that. You hear all the good stories. You want to now watch him play. So for Edmonton, it's great. For the rest of the league, it's really good. And for people that are in the Tank Nation, maybe now they're saying, phew, maybe Edmonton won't get the first overall pick.
Yeah, trust me, that is out there, Pierre. That is out there. You know, at the same time, and here we are talking about Toronto, I said, you know, it is February the 2nd, the 28th, coming up very shortly. So I said, is it more like, is it like a garage sale? So if it's a garage sale, it's a beautiful... We'll have the beautiful music, the theme from A Summer Place, Pierre. And so you are the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it's a garage sale. And you're sitting there with the Bermuda shorts and the flip-flops, and people are coming up, and they're looking through your stuff, and you're saying, hey, what are you looking for? Would you like a Holland? Are you interested in a Holland? Would you like a Bozak? What's happening this time? Is it truly a garage sale? Well, people are going, well, how much for this? What do you want for that? Is that kind of what's going on right now?
I think so. Around the league, it's not just Toronto. That's going on around the league. And one of the things that I think you need to pay attention to if you're doing that kind of stuff, and I think there'll be a few teams that'll be looking to do that, you have to make sure you identify your core guys so you don't mess with those guys. Those guys stay internally within your organization. And then you look at, okay, who's the most disposable player we have that'll bring the most worth to us? And then you try to find matches around the league. Okay, does Team A need an offensive center iceman? Or does Team B need a depth grinding forward who can be a penalty killer? And you go around the league that way. And if you've been on top of your pro scouting, you know every team's strengths and weaknesses, and you know what the matches are. That's something that you're working on almost every day as a professional scout or as an assistant GM. That's basically your job title, is to make sure you understand the strengths and weaknesses of every team in the league plus your own, and then you find the right matches.
Because there's not a lot of, you know, I think at times people like to talk about who's the winner and loser in a trade. It's so sophisticated right now. There's so much information on, you know, any player that you'd be interested in, any vested, you know, prospect or you know, a draft pick and so on, that I really think it's is it not harder to pull off a trade now than it's ever been in the history of the league?
Well, what makes it hard is the cap. The cap is what makes it hard. If there was no salary cap, it'd be a lot easier to make deals. Now, one of the things that makes it a little bit more digestible to make deals is that you can take some of the money back, which helps a ton. And that was a really smart idea that was presented by Brian Burke a long time ago. And for whatever reason, it took a while to gain some traction, but now they've got some traction on it. So you can keep some money, which helps make it a little bit more simple to make deals. But no, that's if we didn't have a cap, it would be extremely simple to make deals. You'd be seeing deal after deal. That's just how hockey is. People like to make deals.
Well,
but because of the cap, it makes it harder.
You know, when we were talking, when we initially started talking about Toronto and what might be available, what do you think is going to happen in Winnipeg, where there seems to be, I don't know if unrest is the word, but with Ladd and Byfuglien and Byfuglien and so on, what do you think happens in Winnipeg?
Oh, it's going to be interesting. This is where I think Kevin Cheveldayoff, because of relationships, especially with Chicago, and he knows our list pretty darn well. I wouldn't be surprised to see either Ladd or Byfuglien make a reappearance in Chicago. They can obviously get both, but they could get them. And maybe it's just somebody that keep long term. But remember, what happened to Byfuglien and Ladd, they were victims of the salary cap. That's why they both ended up going to Atlanta before, obviously, Atlanta moved to Winnipeg. But that's what happened after the cup in 2010. Ladd and Byfuglien were part of the group that got jettisoned out because of salary cap implications. And Chicago's had to do that three different times because of them winning a cup and then having salary cap implications. You saw what happened last summer with Johnny Andrie and Patrick Sharp and then being moved out. So there's a familiarity there, Mike. I would be surprised if one of those two guys at some point potentially didn't reappear in Chicago.
Now, Pierre, we get back to a little bit of the home stretch. There's still a lot of hockey to be played, but, you know, there's a couple of games here tonight. What a way to start, and I'm taking a look at Florida, Washington. That's not a bad way to start the second half of your season.
No, it's a great way to start. and, again, you get a chance to spend time with Gerard Gallant and Barry Trotz, and they were both coaching the Eastern Conference All-Star team, obviously different divisions. But they were together in the same dressing room. They were together in the same office. They spent a lot of time visiting. So the coaches know each other extremely well after this weekend, and that's a great way to start, I think. It is a testament to the young players and the development of young players as to why Florida is where they are. And it's a true testament, I think, to coaching and to getting players to buy into your message in terms of what's happened in Washington. Barry's done a phenomenal job there, along with Lane Lambert and Blaine Forsythe and then Todd Reardon, his assistants. And you can see the way the players have just bought in big time. Washington Capitals have an identity in terms of how they play. And that, I would say, for the first time in a long time, that they actually have that identity. And it's
So when we talk about, you know, the delivery of the message, was it, so I don't know if it was just speculation, but for Coach Gallant, that he would have the ability and his strength would be in cultivating young players? Is that initially why he was hired for this particular job?
I would say yes. He's done a really good job with that. You look at the development of Barkov, you look at the development of Bukestad, you look at the development of Vincent Trocheck, who's been very, very good. That's how they go 1-2-3 down the middle, and that's really a very impressive center ice position. And then obviously Eric Goodbranson has taken major strides. You look how he's comfortable Aaron Ekblad is playing in the league. So again, you look at it, that's been great. Now, what people forget about Brewer is he won a Memorial Cup coaching in St. John, and that doesn't get enough play. He was a very, very good, successful major junior coach before he became an assistant in Montreal, and he did a great job working for the Canadiens when he was there before, obviously, getting the head job down in Florida. But that's his calling card, absolutely. He makes it very simple for players to understand what they need to do. He also has a way with young players for them to play.
Pierre, who is really under the gun as you get to the second part of the season? I mean, who's sweating the most bullets in terms of the pressure to either make that move to get in the playoffs, to hold their position, or those that are sort of dropping? Where do you see some trouble happening if things don't go well in the early part of this second half?
Well, there's got to be pressure in Montreal, huge pressure. I do radio there every day, half for the last 17 years, and there's significant pressure in Montreal, huge pressure. I would say there's a lot of pressure in Pittsburgh, tremendous amount of pressure in Pittsburgh. I would say there's, in the Western Conference, a significant amount of pressure in Anaheim. But I think they're starting to get out of it. I think they're starting to really play their way out of it. Spent some time with Corey Perry and John Gibson at the All-Star game, and they both feel like their team's really starting to turn the corner, which is good. But those are the teams that I would say there's pretty much a lot of pressure in those situations. And the other one, New York Rangers. After having a pretty good start, New York Rangers kind of flatlined. They're a little bit like Montreal. And so those would be the teams I think have pretty significant pressure on them right now.
What about a team like Minnesota that I thought maybe might even jump up a little bit this year? But, boy, they find themselves almost like they're spinning wheels in mud. I don't know how to describe it.
No, that's a great point. Absolutely. That's one that I overlooked, but I would agree with you on that, Mike. Absolutely. And I think part of that is because they've had this huge inability to score. And I think they're a little bit like Montreal in that they were getting some good center ice play early on in the year, but for whatever reason, the last month or so, Mikko Koivu has dropped off really significantly, and Michael Granlund really has never gotten started. So those are their top two center icemen. It's been a big problem for them. It's a little bit like Plekanec and Desharnais in Montreal. It just hasn't happened for them.
Pierre, where's your destination? What are we looking at? The McGuire?
I'm in Tampa.
Oh, you're in Tampa.
I'm in Tampa. Yeah, I'm in Tampa. I'm heading over to the rink to watch practice, and then I've got a game tomorrow, Tampa and Detroit, and I'm heading home, and then I go right back to Washington.
Well, it's going to be a busy week. We're glad that you joined us here this morning, and we will talk to you again tomorrow at the same time.
Mike, I watched the Beanpot last night.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. Harvard and Boston College played a great game early on. 3-2 win for Boston College. But you watch Jimmy Vesey, who's probably the best player in college hockey in the United States. He's a draft pick in Nashville. There's a lot of rumors out there that he could potentially become a free agent, a lot like Kevin Hayes did coming out of Boston College,
yep,
and a lot like Schultz did coming out of University of Wisconsin, who ended up in Edmonton. And if that's the case, you want to talk about a feeding frenzy. There'll be a feeding frenzy around this guy. He's a really, really, he stands out so significantly against very, very good players. He's NHL ready right now, this guy. He really is.
Now,
so that was one.
Now that sometimes I'm not always in love with analogies and who a player is like, because it's real tough at that age sometimes to even make that comparison. But you've been around the game long enough that when you say someone looks like somebody, I tend to believe it. What is the style of game? Who is he? I'm not saying he is that player, but he is most like.
He has tremendous speed through the neutral zone, and he really accelerates once he gets the puck on a stick. I don't think he's as good as Dylan Larkin. I don't think he's nearly as quick, obviously. But I see similarities. And I remember you were in Ufa when he was playing on the line with Johnny Goudreau and JT Miller. And that was the best line the Americans had. And eventually they won the gold medal. Gibson obviously was huge in goal. But that's – so VC's been through that World Junior thing. He's played a lot of major games in U.S. college hockey. So I would say there's a little bit of Dylan Larkin in him.
That's interesting. We'll watch for that. Hey, Pierre, thanks so much for this morning.
Really nice visiting with you. Have a great day, everybody.
That is Pierre McGuire, our NHL insider. Once again, the Beanpot. Let's get down there. Like, hockey in that area has, you know, a tremendous lineage. You know, when you start talking about schools like that, you start talking about Northeastern, you know, Boston College, University of Boston. Great area. Boston, one of my favorite towns. TSN 1050. Mike Richards, the morning. Phone lines are open. Your chance to talk to Marv Albert and, well, just drink it in. I think that's the best way of putting it. What a thrill for you and your family. And then, of course, your chance to win a family four-pack. So we'll do that in just moments. It is also, you know, from Media Day at Super Bowl. It's where the weirdness is. So there was a guy who wanted Cam Newton to kiss his wife or whatever. All kinds of stuff goes on there. It's a weird day. I would think you just kind of, if you were there, like Ed Werder would be, some of our fine reporters. Schultzy. I think James Duthie's down there for TSN. You just must want to boil yourself after days like that. Then there are legitimate questions and answers you want to hear from, including Cam Newton talking about playing against Peyton Manning.
Anything that the sheriff has to say, you can probably, you know, ink it in gold. It's just a tremendous honor to be even mentioned and affiliated with the face of the league. But yet, I think I have bigger fish to fry on Sunday. And then we worry about the rest of the 8 to 10 years after that.
Then there was some guy who prepared this rap because I guess Cam Newton likes to rap. And so then Cam had to do one off the top of his head. I'll be honest, folks, this is not my world. I don't know how good this is supposed to be, but kind of feels awkward to me.
I don't think you got swag because your shirt is yellow. It should have been Carolina blue, something that you should have thought, something you should have knew. We're chilling in the Super Bowl with a lot of media. Man, I hate talking to the media. But it's all good. It's all great. Man, I look at the team, men and boys straight. I'm straight out of College Park by way of Atlanta. You can see the tile on my head, so people call it a bandana.
Oh, snap! What was that?
Oh, my God. Don't ever do that again.
What was that?
For the hip-hop fans all over the world.
Yeah.
Please, like, oh, God, my ears.
I mean, is this going to become a thing? I got to be honest. Does that mean they turn around and then side by side, they sit there going, well, Peyton, what do you think?
Uh-huh. Boom, boom, boom. Well, we're playing Carolina, a team that, I was going to make a rhyme with something that probably isn't right. Can we start again?
You know what I mean?
Could you imagine a Peyton Manning rap album?
Maybe we'll do that before the you know what? That's a bit
I'd rather
right there.
Have that over Cam Newton yeah. rap album, that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, did that not seem a little awkward to me? Can you imagine that day? Hey, Roger Staubach, can you rap for us? I don't know what you're talking about. It's just so awkward. Okay, do we have, they're all lined up? So let's bring them in. Hey. We did this yesterday. Yeah, you can say it. Yes! And we are live on TSN 1050. Hello, everybody. I'm Marv Albert, along with Ferdy Pacheco, the fight doctor, as we are courtside, ready to give away yet another family four-pack, whatever that is, to the NBA Center Court at Enercare from February 12th to the 14th. By the way, it was Denver. I'm sorry. Yes, Denver, 112
93 over the Raptors. It was Jokic with a huge game, and Michael Skrzyzewski did not come off the bench, not once. And now let's go to the phone lines for their chance to win a family four-pack. Yes!
Marv, we're going to Pete in Toronto.
Pete, welcome to TSN 1050. You're speaking to Marv Albert.
Oh, baby, I'm so excited. Let's go.
Here is your... I didn't get what you did there, but here is...
Just be quiet and give me the question, please.
Vince Carter and Chris Bosh have appeared in the most NBA All-Star games as a member of the Raptors. How many All-Star games did they play in?
I would guess 5 in total.
Yes! And that is correct! For 3!
Oh, baby, how exciting I am. He's a genius, genius.
I have no idea. Anytime Marv Albert comes on to the show, things go horribly wrong, and yet it is that was from Peterborough, is that correct? Was that Peterborough?
No, Pete from Toronto.
Oh, Pete from Toronto. I used to date someone from Peterborough. Years ago, back in the late 70s, the early 90s. That person? Mike Keenan.
Okay, just no one needed to hear that last part either. Why is it when Marv Albert comes on?
You track the freaks. I don't get it. What was he doing?
But I'm playing that back. There's no way we're not playing that back. I don't know what it is, but there is awesomeness whenever this happens because it goes completely sideways and weird. It is circus-like. We are going to have to go. We will cut that in it because I need to play that again. I'm pretty sure that was Bob Cole.
That was Bob Cole.
That was Bob Cole was
an attempt at Bob Cole.
if Jerry Howarth were trying to imitate Bob Cole. That's what that sounded like, with a little Popeye in there.
That was
all good, trust me.
Yeah.
I live for this stuff. I don't know, Marv Albert comes into a studio. Well, we know what happens sometimes when Marv Albert goes into rooms, and sometimes you just don't want to be there. We'll talk to Darren Drager on the other side.
You should have got your self-energized, and you should be ready to go. And to me, it's an important time for our team. We're really trying to improve our team, improve our culture, grow our game here so that when kids arrive here, they're around good people. And so we got to continue to get a lot better than we are.
That is head coach Mike Babcock. The most important element of that statement, which is just crystal clear, we have to make sure, if we go back just to the end of that, he talks about, we have to make sure that when, I believe, the new kids get here, that they're with guys who understand what happens sort of in our environment. I mean, it's as plain as day. I mean, not that there should be a surprise to it, but I think the honesty to the situation is almost remarkable when you hear him talk like that.
You should have got your self-energized, and you should be ready to go. And to me, it's an important time for our team. We're really trying to improve our team, improve our culture, grow our game here so that when kids arrive here, they're around good people. And so we got to continue to get a lot better than we are.
When kids arrive here, very interesting stuff. And now we go to our good friend Darren Drager. Morning, Dregs.
Good morning.
That is spoken with such clarity that there is no coach speak to what he's saying, is there, Dregs? This is about as black and white as you're ever going to hear a coach talk about what this organization is about. It is clear as day.
Right, but that's why there's a level of uncertainty in identifying the names who we believe
would or should be on the trade block between now and the end of the month and the NHL trade deadline, because, you know, Leo Komarov would fetch a decent return. There's no question about that. Based on his play, the year that he's had, the character of the man, as important as anything that I've just said, will also factor in. And he's got a bit of term left on his contract. So, you know, even though Leo doesn't necessarily fit into the age dynamic of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and when they think that they're going to be at a place where they can, you know, not only challenge for a playoff spot, but maybe, you know, go a little deeper into the postseason than most would expect, Leo's probably going to be past his prime at that stage. But in the moment right now, and if you look to next year, you want guys who, you know, play essentially the same way shift after shift. Now, Leo Komarov, you know, has grown in notoriety primarily because, at least through the first 30 games or so, Mike, he was putting the puck in the net. And offensively, things have cooled down for him, but his work ethic remains the same. So when you hear about culture, it's not just, you know, how good a guy you are in the dressing room or off ice. It's the message that you send, you know, when you're on that bench or on the ice, and that consistency that you play with that Babcock is looking for. So you can't trade all those guys away because those guys are tough to replace for next year when, as Babcock says, you know, the kids are coming. They definitely are. You know, a few of these young men will be in the lineup next year. They need a healthy work environment to push them a little bit as they develop.
Now, when we look at how this could transpire, and again, you know, right now it's a little bit of a game show, guessing at what names would be of interest, because, as you know, it's really about the needs, these needs from whatever team that right now is unknown, right, and what they feel that they need down the stretch, whether it's sort of a quote-unquote rental player, you know, for someone that for a team that believes that they should go all in, that they're maybe a third line center or someone away. It's difficult to probably speculate. On the other hand, you know, with what you do for a living, you know how busy it gets. Is this the busiest time of year, or is it in the summer?
Well, a little of both, but no, this is the busier time because, you know, once you get into the playoffs, everyone's fixated on the Stanley Cup push, and then immediately following, you've got the draft, you've got the NHL awards, and then, you know, snap your fingers, and there's July 1st, and you're into free agent frenzy. There's more buildup with the trade deadline. It took so long this season for a trade to materialize, and, you know, then there was a decent one between, you know, the Nashville Predators and the Columbus Blue Jackets, Seth Jones and Ryan Johansson, and, you know, then it goes quiet again for the All-Star, and talk will start to pick up now. It's going to be interesting to see, though, whether or not much materializes because of how tight the playoff push is right now in both the East and the West. And, you know, usually by this time, Mike, as you know, there's a definition, or at least it's getting close to who's a buyer and who's a seller. We don't know that right now. We really, truly don't. So when you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, I call them the usual suspects. You know, it's going to be guys like, Sean Matthias, Daniel Winnick, you know, Nick Spaulding, I'm sure would be a player that the Leafs would move. Maybe Peter Holland, Michael Grabner, an expiring contract. All those short-term guys that, again, maybe, you know, they're not bad guys. They're good hockey players. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that they're not a fit next year. But if the trade value is there in terms of a draft pick or a prospect or something like that, then obviously Lou Lamoriello is going to look at it. Where it gets a little bit more sketchy, frankly, is, well, what about Tyler Bozak? What about Joffrey Lupul? I still don't see James Van Riemsdyk. I don't see Nazem Kadri. I don't see Jake Gardner on the trade block between now and the end of the month, maybe in the off season. But Bozak and Lupul are interesting, and it'll be just as interesting to see if there's a market that can be established for those guys.
Yeah, very good points, because, I mean, if I'm another team that's, you know, that one sort of player shallow, and sometimes, you know, we talk about that seven player profile. Yep. If I know that there's a Joffrey Lupul available down the stretch, and put it this way, a healthy Joffrey Lupul,
that's the key.
Then how could that not be attractive to somebody? And for the Leafs, I mean, coming back the other way, I don't think people should be looking for that big name coming in. I think you're looking at what, prospects? You're looking at draft picks probably that they want to store away?
Yeah, in Lupul's case, because of his contract, which is getting better,
Maybe you have to take on a contract back. And, you know, so it's again, maybe not a player who fits long-term with the organization. And because of that, you know, you're not taking on a 4 or 5 year deal, but maybe you've got to take a contract back just to make the money work for the team that a Joffrey Lupul would be going to. But you still should get a prospect or a draft pick. And nothing has changed there. And this is where Lamoriello and Shanahan and the Leafs deserve credit. You know, in past years, there has been a sense of wavering. Well, the team is better than we thought. Maybe if we add a piece, you know, we can still sell it like this piece fits long term. But then all hell breaks loose and things go off track and the organization is left scrambling. This group, at least at this stage, remains committed. And that's very, very important. And committed in the bigger picture, too. You know, I talk about Bozak as potentially being in play. They're not giving Tyler Bozak away. You know, he's been a good fit. He's been a decent center for Mike Babcock and serviceable. So, you know, just because the market isn't as strong on February 29th as what you were hoping doesn't mean you have to make that trade. You sit and you see if it gets better in the summer.
Well, starting tonight, as actually a game we have right here on TSN 1050, starting at 6:30, dropping the puck at 7 with Joe Bowen, Leafs and Bruins. The question was asked about Mike Babcock shuffling lines. There was obviously somewhat of a goal drought offensively, and maybe it goes back to even, I guess, probably after JVR gets hurt. There are moments where it's just almost seemingly a desert when it comes to goal scoring. So how much do we put into the shuffling of lines, again, because you're balancing everything off with this experiment going forward to the moment where the coach just wants to win a game.
Yeah, and he's searching for chemistry. He's looking for, pairings up front where, you know, maybe this guy has had some success historically with this other player. Maybe they can find that touch again. If we think that James Van Riemsdyk is the reason why the Toronto Maple Leafs offense has dried up, then, you know, this team is in a sad state. And maybe they are, and that's just the reality of where they're at. But, you know, I think that through the early goings of the year, again, not to pile on Komarov, because I think he's a very effective player. I mean, he was scoring beyond what we've seen in the past. So you're getting offense from there, yet Nazem Kadri wasn't. And that wasn't a huge storyline because Nazem Kadri was doing other things, you know, that helped the club. And P.A. Parenteau was scoring for the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's come in various stages, so that's what he's doing now. When you're adjusting lines and you're, you know, putting a traditional third or fourth line guy up on the top line, you're just searching for something to try and get something going. But I'm not buying that the offense dried up when James Van Riemsdyk got hurt. I honestly, Mike, as tough as it is, this is the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the big storyline prior to the start of the year, who was going to replace the offense that Phil Kessel generated? Well, initially it was by committee, and now that committee has gone stale a little bit, but that shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, and I don't think it is a surprise. I mean, if we're looking at surprises and, sort of looking at the standings and where teams are at, should we be surprised at the difficulty Pittsburgh, the aforementioned Pittsburgh? Should we be surprised at the difficulties they're having right now? Because there's pressure in Pittsburgh.
Well, there's been difficulty all season long. Should we be surprised? Not based on what we saw again earlier and prior to the coaching change. I think, you know, giving Mike Sullivan the bench has been a pretty big step forward for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I can see, you know, the benefits in Sidney Crosby. Crosby shooting the puck a lot more. He seems a lot more engaged than he was previously. But, you know, when you look at that roster, it's still a huge head-scratcher. You know, Kessel hasn't done nearly as well as I thought he would, and I'm sure, you know, the masses expected that, you know, he'd easily be a 35 to 40 plus goal guy, and it's highly unlikely he's coming anywhere near that. And, you know, you look at all the other offensive pieces that they have. Rutherford, you know, made some adjustments. Bringing Hägglund into the mix in that trade with Anaheim, I think, you know, gave them another level of speed, which is important. Trevor Daley is a quick player as well, so that helps. There's still a lot of fight left in Pittsburgh, but I think that this year overall has gone a lot more problematic and difficult than what they were expecting at the start of the season.
Well, if that's the case in Pittsburgh, then what's the case in Montreal?
Mm, Yeah. Well, John Scott isn't the answer, with all due respect. John Scott, he was a great story as part of the All-Star festivities. And, you know, he's going to be a fun story to continue to follow in whatever path he decides to take. But, you know, people were talking yesterday, and Michel Therrien, what's he going to say? Is he going to throw Scott under the bus and say, no, there's no way he can help us look at this guy? He's not going to be that disrespectful. I still think it's the same type of environment of Pittsburgh and Anaheim and some of the teams who should be better that aren't necessarily. Look, the general manager would like to wave his magic wand and make things right again. But you can't do that. And even though as hard as Bergevin probably is trying to find the right deal or something that's going to spark this club, you know, in the meantime, it has to be on the players. And the players inside that room are the same players who are enjoying great success, you know, early in the season. Now, we know Carey Price is an enormous loss, but it goes much deeper than that. So, you know, it's up to the guys in that room to figure it out. But I include Michel Therrien as part of that group of guys in the room.
Now, I've just been asked on Twitter, you got to ask Dregs about the new logo. The new logo, Dregs. It's going to be unveiled, TSN 4 during Blueprint at 9:30 tonight on TSN 4. Yeah. And I guess, was it leaked? Was it accurate what was leaked?
Well, that's just it. I don't know that it's accurate. I followed on Twitter, and there were lots of Toronto Maple Leafs reporters who forwarded it and seemed to think that it was the accurate depiction. Now, is it the 1967 logo?
It's true.
Is that the ripoff?
Yeah, I mean, that's the look that I'm seeing, at least, the vintage.
Well, if it is, look, that's fantastic.
It's classic,
They've damaged or repaired some damage of late. You know, bringing Dave Keon back into the mix and rightfully putting him on Legends Row. I mean, that's a huge step in the right direction for this organization. And even though the Toronto Maple Leafs historically pale in comparison to some of the great teams like the Montreal Canadiens, their history is still rich. So celebrate it. And if you want to, you know, use the same type of uniform / logo that they used when they were winning championships back in 1967, then why is that such a bad thing?
Exactly. Finally, I guess of league news, how big is it that Connor McDavid will be playing tonight for the league?
Yeah, pretty big, I think. The game is always better when the young stars or the storylines are the positive ones. And I got it, not to make the comparison here, but, you know, Dylan Larkin for me has been so dynamic and terrific for the Detroit Red Wings. And then watching him and how hard he played in the 3-on-3 tournament. I mean, if Connor McDavid had been there, or Jack Eichel had been there, they would have put on the same level of performance. These young faces are the future of the sport. I mean, that's an obvious comment. But when they're not there, especially one as impactful as Connor McDavid on and off the ice, the game suffers, not just the Edmonton Oilers. So having him back is a good thing for the National Hockey League overall.
Dregs, thanks so much for this morning. Always appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again the same time tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mike.
That is Darren Dreger, our NHL insider, something that we call Bacon and Dregs. Once again, Leafs at the Bruins. Coverage begins at 6:30 with Jim Taddy and Mark Rowe. Play-by-play at 7 p.m. with Joe Bowen and Ralphie. And remember, Blueprint. The Leafs' new logo will be unveiled, the official unveiling, which I can't tell you. My family will be gathered around the old TV.
I can tell how excited you are.
Yes,
I haven't seen you this excited in a while. So.
What if it was just like a skull? That's what I would do. You want to mix things up? Yeah, skull with flames, maybe a snake on it.
Sure.
Like a tattoo that you'd see somewhere in Port Perry.